The Old Testament reading can be found in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. It can be found on page 68 of the Pew Bibles. It's Exodus, chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. The Passover. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbour, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire, with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our New Testament reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, and beginning at verse 24. You can find it on page 979. In the Pew Bibles, page 979. This will be the text for our sermon this morning. So it's Matthew chapter 13, and we begin at verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?' 'An enemy did this,' he replied. The servants asked him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' 'No,' he answered, 'because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" We're going to turn over the page to page 980 and down to verse 36. "Then Jesus left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, please do be with us this morning, and especially over these next few minutes, as we think together about your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I hope you'll turn with me back to Matthew chapter 13. And it's Matthew 13, beginning at verse 24. As we continue to look at some parables of Jesus. That's page 979. Now, I'm sure you saw in the news this week the story about Asher's Bakery, owned and run by a Christian family in Newton Abbey, who are being threatened with legal action by the Northern Ireland Equality Commission because they refused to ice a cake with really a political slogan which was against their biblical beliefs. And thankfully, there's been an outpouring of public support for the MacArthur family, not just in Northern Ireland, and not just by other Christian people, but more generally. However, it made me think, well, why is the world like this? Why are there cases like this one, and far worse cases overseas? Why do God's people face such difficulties? Is it what we should expect if God really is in charge of his world? Now, that's a big question, which we can't possibly hope to answer in one short sermon, but this morning's parable, as we continue through the parables, is part of the jigsaw, because in it, Jesus is describing the mixed-up world in which we live. And he tells the parable to inform us that there will be difficulties, sinfulness, and rebellion against him, even in his own world. Now, I've called the parable the seeds and the weeds. It's probably better known as the wheat and the tares. And in it, Jesus is saying at least three things to us. And the first thing that he says is, be aware of the mixed field in which you live. So in our parable this morning, the kingdom of heaven is like the situation where a man sows good seed in his field. However, while he and his workers are sleeping, an enemy comes along and he sows weeds in amongst the wheat. And even the roots of the wheat and the weeds get entangled. And then after a while, as the plants come up, the owner's servants, they spot the weeds. They tell the owner and he's able to pinpoint the problem. Some unnamed enemy has done this, he explains. But the owner then decides to wait until the harvest to get his crop. Well, that's the parable. But what does it mean? Well, Jesus gives us the meaning himself. And so if you do look down, actually over the page, to verse 37, please. You see, the disciples do not really understand what the parable's about, so they ask Jesus. And then verse 37, he answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels." And we'll just leave it there. Now that's Jesus' own explanation of his own parable. So the field that he's been describing is the world. It's his world. It's a world that rightly belongs to King Jesus. He made it. He is the owner. He has every right to plant his seed and to look for a fruitful harvest. And the good seed that he does plant is, verse 38, the people of the kingdom. And I hope that you can say that is you. Are you a person of the kingdom? Have you believed the gospel, turning from your old way of life, turning to a new way, turning to Christ, becoming a Christian? Well, if you have, it's because Jesus has sown you, planted you in this place, in this world, and he's nurtured you and tended you. Now, perhaps you're not really sure if you are a person of the kingdom. I mean, you might be somewhat interested in the things of God and in the gospel, but you cannot say for definite that you're there yet. Well, if that's you, I think it's likely that God is drawing you to himself. He's growing you like the kernel or the seed. You're at the starting point. But you need to grow into Christ. You need to learn Christ. so as you can say for sure that you are one of his, and then produce fruit for him. So yes, the good seed is the people of the kingdom, but within the same field are the weeds. So within God's world, a rebellion is going on. And the rebels are described as, verse 38 again, people of the evil one. That is, there are those people who reject the owner's legitimate rule and rebel against him. They're not Christ's people. They are non-Christian people. And whether they know it or not, and to a greater or lesser extent, non-Christians are serving God's enemy, the devil. They are the weeds in Jesus' field. And those are his words, not mine. We can actually see the rebellion all around us. It's found in an anti-God approach to life, in an attitude that just ignores God. The enemy, as Jesus describes him, tells lies. He tells the lie that there is no God. He tells the lie that there's no sower, that there's no wheat. In fact, he wants us to believe that the field in which we live is not cultivated at all. We're all weeds, growing wild, growing free, he says. So don't care about God. Do your own thing. Don't try to produce fruit for him. Just live the way you please without reference to the owner. And that's how the rebellion looks in God's field. So we live in a mixed field. There are the weeds and there are the wheat. And the two are growing together. The people of the evil one and the people of the kingdom are living together in the same world. The Christian rubs shoulders with the non-Christian, all within God's world. And even within God's church, the roots are so entangled that the seed and the weed will be found in similar places, like church. Now, you should be able to tell the difference by their fruit, by the way they live, and by how one group honours the king. But the real difference is due to the type of seed used in the first place. That's our world. Jesus says we live in a mixed field. We're either a Christian serving him or we're a non-Christian serving his enemy. You either belong to one or the other. And that's the first point Jesus makes to us in this parable. He says, be aware that you live in a mixed field. But then the second thing that Jesus says in this famous parable is, be patient in this life. So have a look down, please, to verse 28. We're actually turning back to this verse just to see this point that Jesus makes. The servants in the parable have seen the weeds beginning to come up. They report that back to the owner. And then verse 28, an enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Now, these verses, I think, are the main part of the parable here. What's happening is there's a disagreement between the owner and his servants. The servants recommend rushing in and separating the wheat and the weed on the spot. But the owner, the master, decides to delay until the harvest time. And at that stage, when harvesting by hand, those two plants can be separated. No combine harvesters in Jesus' day. So through the parable, Jesus is saying to us that we have to be patient until the point of God's harvest. Now, it's hard for Christians to be patient, isn't it? We're a bit like children who, small children who have no patience. Are we there yet? Isn't that what a child always asks on a car journey? Well, we're nearly there, you just have to be patient. Are we there yet? You know, small children just have no patience. And Christians can be a bit like that with spiritual things. In Jesus' day, the Jews were expecting the kingdom of God to come immediately. They believed in a kind of political kingdom that would be imposed by the Messiah firmly and suddenly. However, now Jesus comes along and he has to say that there'd be an interval before the climax of the kingdom. An interval between his initial sowing and then the harvest. And what will happen during this interval? Well, it is that the gospel will be shared. And that will take time for the spores of the kingdom to spread all around the world. And in fact, that's been going on for 2,000 years. And that's what Jesus is saying to us in this parable, that there will be a delay before the judgment. There'll be an interval between Jesus' first and second comings. And during that time, we have to put up with all the problems and difficulties of living in a mixed field. We have to be patient. Now, if you're a Christian this morning, you may well have the same attitude as these servants. I mean, you may feel from time to time under pressure from a non-Christian world with its anti-God beliefs and anti-God values. You might feel a little threatened. You might feel sometimes choked by the weeds into compromise. And you ask yourself, why is God allowing this? Or why is he allowing that? Why can't he help that bakery out? And many Christians want to gather the wheat now, don't they? Come ye out from among them. Don't some churches advocate that message? But Jesus says, no, no, no. You're not to come out from among them. Not now. Not yet. Now, I can sympathize with believers like that. They're just like the owner's servants in the parable who were asking, Master, why don't you sort this out right now? That's what they want to know. But the master says, no, I'm not going to do anything yet. He's far more wise than the servants. The driver of the car is far more wise than the small children in the back seat. He has patience. He has a long-term view. And the master wants the maximum harvest. And to get it, he knows he has to wait. And he knows that his servants will have to be patient. So true Christians have to persevere through all the difficulties that come in life, always looking forward to the last day and working here and now to the end that many more will join them in following Jesus. Now, as I look out at the congregation this morning, I don't know who's wheat and who is tare, who's on the side of Jesus already and who's not. I haven't got to know you yet, really. But God knows. And he's delayed the harvest to allow the crop to be bigger. And actually, he's just being patient with us. He wants a tare to become a wheat, which sounds impossible. But nothing is impossible with God. And so he's giving us time to switch sides and to make sure that we're on his side. Well, so far this morning, we've heard Jesus say two things in this parable. First, he says to us, be aware that you're living in a mixed field. Christians should expect to live cheek by jowl with the non-Christian world. And then secondly, he's saying, be patient in this life. The owner is not yet ready to remove the rebels from his field. So be aware, be patient. And then thirdly this morning, Jesus says to us, be certain about the future. Because although the owner is being patient now, one day his patience will run out. So let's have a look again back to over the page and back to verse 40, please. Back to our parable. Jesus is still explaining the parable at this point. If you look down at verse 40, he says, as the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. So Jesus uses our parable to explain a little bit about the future. On the last day, there will be a judgment. The wheat will be brought into the barn. In other words, God's children will be brought safely into his kingdom, and the weeds will be gathered and burned, all at God's final harvest. Now, I know that no one today likes to hear about judgment. In fact, you could say there's an 11th commandment, thou shalt not judge. And that's how many upstanding, right-minded people try to live their lives. And of course, being judgmental is always wrong. But ultimately, judgment itself is a very necessary thing. I heard a story about a little girl at primary school who got a new teacher, and after a few days, she was very unhappy. And her parents asked her what the matter was, and she said her new teacher didn't care about her. And initially they thought, well, the teacher must be being unkind or a bit harsh. But that wasn't it. She never marks my work, was the daughter's explanation. And you see, being judged or having your work marked, in the girl's case, is an expression of care. And not to judge is not to care. So when Jesus talks about God judging us, he's saying that God cares about our actions and about our behaviour. They matter to him. And if you're not yet a Christian, you might think that believing in God's judgment is a bit harsh. But honestly, it's nothing compared to what you believe. If you don't believe in judgment, then you simply think that nothing matters, that God does not care about how his creatures live. And if you don't believe in God, then you're really saying that there is no right and wrong, no morality, no accountability at the end of life, no meaning in life. But you know, no one can live like that. Mankind knows, each of us knows, deep down, that our actions do count, that there will be a judgment, that what we do and how we live does matter, and that God will hold us all to account for it. That if we live in God's field, but are rebelling against him, we'll find ourselves in a blazing furnace, as Jesus puts it. Now that, of course, is not a pleasant picture, and it's not nice to have to mention it, yet it must be done because Jesus himself teaches it in this parable. He taught that it's the logical destiny for those who have wanted nothing to do with God throughout their lives. And Jesus isn't trying to frighten us. Some people think that any talk of judgment is just for preachers to frighten people with. But no, Jesus does it out of love and care for us. Sometimes when you're driving, especially down south, you see road signs which say, accident black spot, 3 fatal accidents in the last 4 years, or whatever it might be. Now, are they trying to frighten us with signs like that? Well, yes, probably. But do I resent that? No, because there is something to be frightened of. Those signs are not just frightening signs. They are warning signs. And they're giving us the facts so as we can then take action. And of course, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing in his parable here. He's warning us of what will certainly happen in the future so as we can prepare for it now by becoming a Christian, by turning from sin and rebellion, by getting to know the Lord Jesus, who died to save you on the cross. And the harvesting of the field will be a climactic time in the future, when, verse 43, the people of the kingdom will shine like the sun. That's what Jesus says. It's a great phrase. True Christians will be beaming, not because of judgment, but because all the sin and suffering, sickness and tragedies, all the rebellion in God's field will be over. God's judgment will put an end to it all. So, be certain about your future, as certain as Jesus was. Don't rebel against the owner. Switch sides, switch your allegiance if you haven't done so already. Be like the wheat in the master's field, useful to him and ready for harvesting. And so there are these three things that Jesus is saying to us this morning. First, be aware that you're living in a mixed field. The faithful rub shoulder with the rebel. Not everyone willingly submits to the good rule of the master. Secondly, Jesus says, be patient in this life, which is perhaps the main point of the parable. If you're a Christian, don't be tempted to give up. In the world, you will encounter difficulties because of your faith. But Jesus tells us, be patient, keep going, keep believing. And then finally, Jesus says, be certain about the future. We can be patient now, because the harvest is coming. At the close of the age, God himself will put things right for his children and gather them all safely to himself. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the teaching of the Lord Jesus and for the parables that he spoke. And we pray, Lord, that you would allow him to speak right into our hearts this morning. Help us to see this parable of the seeds and the weeds, Lord. Help us to be patient in this life as we wait for the harvest. Help us to be sure that we are a wheat growing in the Master's field. And help us to do everything we can to be your servants, your people, your children. In Jesus' name, amen.